Praise the Lord, saints. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Tony Sanchez. We came among the saints and decided to go all out with y'all in 2007. And my wife and I labor in, we live in El Paso, Texas, and we labor in Ciudad Juarez, Chihuahua, Mexico. Been laboring there for lost souls for Jesus now for 13 years. And the thought that the Lord kept on bringing to my heart for about 2 years now to share, which I preach all the time, but every time I get up here, it seems like everything leaves me and becomes difficult. But I do want to be faithful in sharing what the Lord has shared with me. And the thought is about better and best. And I was so thrilled when Brother Ed Wilson shared one of the verses that the Lord gave me to share about better. And I'd like to begin with Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23. We'll start there. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. We're going to read more verses in a little bit to give the context. But I just want to say that there's something better than life, something better than television, something better than action-packed movies, something better than jumping from one bed to the other, trying to find your satisfaction there with someone else. There's something better than substance abuse. There's something better than suicide. There's something better than this world has to offer. And his name is Jesus Christ. I once had a friend that I was trying to encourage him to try TCBY, yogurt ice cream. And he would not try it for anything. He says, I've tasted yogurt. It's bitter. I don't like it. It's sour. I don't like the taste of it. I said, yes, but this is better than ice cream. He said, no, I don't believe it. Well, one day, I don't know what happened, but I had a spoon and I stuck it into his mouth with yogurt in it. And he was a companion in the ministry with me, preaching together. And he says, that's good ice cream. I said, I got you. That's yogurt. He says, no, you tricked me. It's ice cream. He goes, no. I said, it's frozen yogurt. And you know, he had a hard time believing. He had to look at it and look at the glass that I was drinking out of, eating out of. Yeah, he says, it's yogurt, all right. And you know, from then on, he'd forget about me and go take other young people from the congregation, take him to TCBY. And you know, it's really difficult sometimes with the world, those you might work with, relatives, friends, I know, to share with them about our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we tell them that it's better than the soap operas, it's better than gossiping, it's better than wild parties, it's better than alcohol of any type. Is better than reaching the top of the ladder in your business, in your career. It's more fulfilling. It's more of a rush. I heard people that they get a rush looking at pornography. I tell you, there's no greater rush than reading the scripture and having the Holy Spirit reveal to you precious things that you never understood before. Getting back to better sacrifices. We read of Cain and Abel. We all know that Cain offered sacrifices of the fruit of his labor from the ground, and that represents our own works, our own good works, being good, being talented, giving our efforts and strength to the Lord, and hoping that in return he gives us salvation, gives us a place in heaven. And that's what many religious systems teach, the Jehovah's Witnesses being one of them, and many, many others, that the more you work for the Lord, the more chance or opportunity you have of salvation. But it was different with Cain offered, excuse me, I bet I've said it wrong. Cain offered the fruit of the ground, but Abel offered the firstlings, the kids, the flocks. And what did that represent? Jesus Christ. Just pointing to the future, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And I'm so thankful that I don't have to live a life of always wanting to please others and of always defining myself by what others think about me, how others feel about me. Once you understand that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Once you understand that he died for you individually, and you accept that, and you believe that, and you ask Jesus, come into my heart, and forgive me, and show me who you are, reveal yourself to me, and I repent of my sins, I believe on you, and he comes into your heart and your life, you don't have to work anymore for salvation. You don't have to struggle to feel that what you are doing is going to gain you something good, something better, that is going to gain you a place in heaven, because now you know that you're loved and you're accepted in the beloved. And there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. In many religious systems, you feel so condemned that you don't measure up to their standard, to their rules and to their laws and to their regulations. But in Jesus Christ, he accepts you right off the bat just the way you are. Yes, he's going to change you. You're going to grow in understanding. You're going to want to leave some things behind. You're going to want to abstain some things, but not for salvation. That'll be because you love the Lord, because you want to serve him, because you want to please him. I'm so thankful that there are better sacrifices. We'll go back reverse for context in Hebrews 9:19. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of the goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkling both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament, which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. And that's where the verse that I just read comes in. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, with goats and lambs and doves and flour and oil and all those things that were offered in the Old Testament. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Verse 26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, being Jesus. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of yourself, ourselves? No, of himself, of Jesus Christ. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, your sins, my sins. And unto them that look for him, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I love to garden, and we live in El Paso, Texas, and it gets really, really hot. We recently had temperatures of 111 degrees. I'm sure it's not as hot as Arizona and other places that get 120, 125, but we get hot weather, and our water hose, I have to buy one every year because it begins to literally melt. We have it hung on the little hose hanger. The sun hits it, and pretty soon it gets kinks, and it starts to separate. And when you water, it gets these big bubbles in it. And the bubbles burst, and then it starts to leak, and there's water going everywhere. So sometimes they burst while we're watering. We don't have time to go buy a water hose, so I just put tape around it, duct tape or hose tape, all kinds of tape. And it works for a while. It's a temporary covering, a temporary solution, but not a permanent one. Pretty soon it'll also melt and get all gooey and ugly, and then we'll have a worse mess. And we're thankful that the Lord knew what he was doing, and we're not at all saying that the law was faulty in any way, in the sense of God making it. It was his will for that, but it was temporary. It was not permanent. It was just for a while. Just like that tape around the water hose too. It temporarily put a Band-Aid on the problem. We're so thankful that we have something better than a Band-Aid. He doesn't just come to put a Band-Aid on our low esteem, a Band-Aid on our desire to commit suicide, a band-aid on our, to kind of band-aid together our broken relationship with our wife, our husband, our children, our aunt, or uncle, whatever it might be. But he literally comes to heal it. There's healing in the blood of Jesus. Nothing else can heal us. Nothing better than that, than the blood of Jesus. And you know, when you, it doesn't matter what you go out and buy, you consider one thing, buying tires. You can buy a low grade of tires that'll only be good for so many thousand miles, and then the tread starts to wear out. Or you can buy, go up all the way to the best grade and just buy the best, and it'll last longer. You don't have to worry about blowing out on a long journey. You know, many people today are wanting to be skimpy, wanting they don't want the narrow way. They want the wide way. They want the easy way. But you know, the easy way leads us into trouble. There will be blowouts. There will be accidents. If we try to pick not the best, but the least, still good, it's still good. It might not even be that sinful, but it's not the best. We're thankful that the best, the better sacrifice is in Jesus Christ. There was once a dad that had a son, and the son always wanted to have a pony, a real pony. The dad was always poor, and he couldn't buy him a real pony. So the little boy ran around playing with a, sure some of us guys here, some of us boys did it. You get a broom handle or a stick, and you run around going, hey, horsey, pony, pony, pony. I used to do that, and I never did get a real pony. But this boy, one day, his dad said, I got a surprise for you. Came home and he said, I'm going to blindfold you. He blindfolded me, took him outside. And then, for his birthday, and as he got in front of the gift, he said, now take off your blindfold. Took it off, and in front of him, now mind you, he was holding onto his stick pony, his dried up pony, and in front of him was a real, live, breathing pony. What do you think he did with the dry stick? He threw it away. And he ran to the real pony and hugged it and wouldn't let go of it. You know, I'm so thankful that we have something better than a dried, shriveled up pony, like drugs, alcohol, sex outside of marriage, violent video games. I believe some people, even adults, try to drown their problems playing one video game after another. It's just another form of addiction, like cocaine or marijuana. Now, don't get me wrong, I like to play games. But some people have substituted playing games for getting into the real game of life, reading the Bible, and getting to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So today, Jesus is offering you himself. He's the real pony. You can let go of that play pony, the cigarette, the marijuana, the cocaine, sexual sins, promiscuity. Amen? For the real pony. Those things have a high and they last for a few moments. Oh, but in Christ, you can have a continual high, live in a high level. I've been listening to saints sing the songs, and it reaches such a crescendo, a high peak of rejoicing. And even those that don't shout and leap or whatever, you can see it in their expressions and their faces. They're so into the song. These songs, some of them were written in the 1880s or later. But they still have meaning to us because they were written by ministers that were inspired and had a real relationship with the Lord. Those, Diz Warner and company. Wonderful, wonderful people. I wish I had been with them, but some say, well, you should say you wish you had been with Jesus, walking with Jesus. I say that too. Jesus on one hand, Diz Warner on the other. Who cares? They're my Savior and my brother in Christ. Amen? Jesus has something better. Something better for us. Better sacrifices. And I'm so thankful that, you know, we left the church that we did in 2002. My wife and I did because we heard from a platform like this in our church convention. This is what they said about themselves, the church that we were a part of. We are not like other churches that believe that they are saved by the blood. But we believe we're saved by following the example. Amen? They're talking about following the example of Christ, which is a worthy thing. We should follow the example of Christ. But, you know, you could work day and night trying to follow the example of Christ and drop dead and get old and shriveled up and have no more strength, because the only thing that will save you is your faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other way to enter heaven, as Brother Michael Smith was saying, but by not just believing that there was someone that shed their blood, but putting your confidence in Jesus Christ and in his precious blood, putting your faith in that blood, that's the better sacrifice. That's your solution for your marital problems. That's the solution for your broken relationship with your kids that you never did spend time with because you were so busy trying to make more money and more money. That's the solution. So get your heart saved, and then you can go humble yourself to your son or your daughter and say, forgive me. I'm sorry that I worshipped and I idolized money or my position. Forgive me. And you know what? It doesn't matter if you're 80 years old and they're already 60. You're ready to drop. The Lord can heal that relationship. That's the better sacrifice. That's the better solution. Are you divorced? Jesus can humble your heart and you can go back to the wife that you divorced and beat and yelled at and humiliated. And you can say, honey, I'm sorry. I repent. It'd be wise for her to wait 1 year maybe or two to see if you're really saved or not. But you know what? The Lord can heal. His better sacrifice can heal your broken relationships. Amen? I'm not just saying it. I've seen it. It works. It's real. I've been married almost 20 years and my relationship has not yet been broken. I've not yet pulled my wife's hair or chased her around the house with a boot, telling her I'm going to kill her like my dad used to do with my mother. I've not yet yelled out gross things to my wife. We've had some heated discussions. Maybe years passed, but now we've gone past that. We're comfortable with one another. There's a little bit of friction sometimes. She's one way, I'm another way, but my wife, woo, praise the Lord, I have a beautiful, wonderful wife. Because Jesus had healed her before I met her. Jesus had healed me before I met her. Two healed people together complement one another better than two broken, unhealed, baggage-carrying, sinful baggage-carrying people. Amen? Better sacrifices. Oh, may the Lord help me to be able to express it better. I can't express it better than that. You're looking for a solution to your problem? Repent. Ask Jesus to save you. Say, Lord, I don't know who you are. I don't understand you, but I've just been told by this Tony guy to come up here to the altar and pray. I want to give it a chance. Don't be like my friend that says, I don't like yogurt. The scripture says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Give it a taste tonight. Give it a try. Give him a chance. And if you're serious, it won't just be a taste. My friend took my TC by Y glass and ate all of it. Because I hadn't put it in my mouth yet. He ate it all. And then from then on, he was addicted to TCBY. I'm not advertising TCBY, okay? Yogurt ice cream. Let's go over to Second Corinthians chapter 3. Praise the Lord. Verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. I have some ministers try to use this in a way. If you try to teach the truth, they say, that's the letter of the law and it killeth. The truth doesn't kill anybody. Jesus said, I am the way, the life, and the truth. The truth cannot but give life. Yeah, but man-made rules can kill. It can kill your spirit of rejoicing. It can kill your spirit of wanting to serve the Lord. And it can make you want to go away, far away from those people. Amen? So we're thankful. We're speaking about right now a better covenant, a better testament. Who brought that into effect? Jesus on the cross, when he shed his blood, it's like, There was a contract from God, and he signed it with what? With his own blood. And he ushered us out of the law dispensation into the New Testament dispensation, the grace dispensation. By grace are you saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen? Verse 7, but if the ministration of death written and engraven in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. Everybody say, done away. I want you to keep that in mind. It's been done away. I hear this about keeping the Ten Commandments. I want to tell you it's been done away. Part of the Ten Commandments were reiterated and introduced in the New Testament, true, but the actual Ten Commandments are done away, and I'm going to prove it to you. It says here, verse 8, how shall the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceeding glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that exceedeth. The glory of the New Testament, the glory of salvation by grace, exceeds the glory that came by a temporary atonement, by sacrifices of animals. Amen? Verse 10. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. 11. For if that which is done away, everybody say done away, was glorious, much more that which remaineth. What remaineth? The New Testament, the New Covenant. We're living in the dispensation of grace, no longer under the law. Part of the Ten Commandments was to not do any work in the Sabbath. If we really believe that we're under the Ten Commandments, we need to be doing no work on Saturday. And we don't do that. That enough should tell us that we're no longer under the Ten Commandments. Amen? Verse 12. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Everybody say, abolished. Now verse 14. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away. Everybody say, done away. Done away in Christ. Amen? But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Glory to God, praise his name. It speaks here of that which was written on stones. I'm not finding it right now. Praise the Lord. Verse 7. But if the ministration of death written and engraven in stones was glorious, what were the Ten Commandments written on, saints? First of all, on stones by the finger of God. Secondly, Moses broke them and went up again, and it was done again, right? Amen? So the Ten Commandments, the law, not just the Ten Commandments plus all those hundreds of other laws that we read of in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, it was done away in Christ. Amen? Jesus carried the Ten Commandments further. Remember? He said, it has been said that if a man commits adultery, etc. But I say unto you that any man who looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath already committed adultery. And he took each one of the Ten Commandments further. That's the ministration of the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is better than walking by a set of rules. Walking in the Spirit is better than walking because my mother said so, or my aunt said so, or the church says so. Amen? There's something better than walking by a set of rules, man-made rules, and that is walking in the Spirit. Amen? There was once a little baby girl that was crawling around, and the mother saw her, and she had a razor in her mouth. The mother knew that if she tried to take the razor from her mouth, that she would cut herself. And she said, "What do I do?" And then she remembered that the girl liked oranges, her baby girl. So she offered an orange, and she spit out the razor, a double-edged razor, and she took the orange. Tonight, we're thankful that we found something better than a code of rules. Even if it was God's rules. He said that he was going to write them no longer on stones, but in our hearts. It's no longer a taking by the hand, like he took Israel, but it's a taking by the heart. Once a woman has your heart, she can get you to do a lot of things that you might not do. Once she's got your heart, you'll go to any length to do, to please her. Amen. Once Jesus has your heart, it won't be hard to give up many things or to add many things to our lives that are pleasing to the Lord. Amen. Jesus is offering you the orange tonight. He wants you to spit out the double-edged razor that is hurting your life and hurting the life of your husband, your wife, your children, maybe even your congregation, maybe even those that you work with. Amen. Psalms 84, verse 10. "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked." Brother Ed Wilson mentioned these verses, and he's left it open that the better could mean a lot of things. A day in the courts of the Lord is better than a thousand elsewhere. You know, when I was young, I was addicted to the television. Today it's not television. Today it's your cell phone. And there's live streaming of movies that I've heard about. I don't remember the name of the companies, but people are yet, they're not might be so much addicted to the big screen, but you see them everywhere with their little screen in the stores, and they're watching movies. They're not texting to Aunt Martha or Aunt Agatha. They're watching boxing or wrestling or the soap operas. And they're walking, crossing the streets like that. They don't even care about their own lives. They're crossing busy streets looking at these movies. When I was growing up, I was very addicted to the television. And I want to tell you that it had me in chains. I could not do hardly anything. Once I knew my favorite shows were coming on, I had to rush home and watch them. I would do my homework in front of the television. I would wake up watching television. And once I met the Lord in Galatians 5, and I understood that all that I was watching on the television was the fruit of the flesh, adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, banquetings, revelings, drunkenness. It was all on there. The Lord started telling me, "You say you want to walk in the Spirit, but you're watching, feeding your heart in adultery and revelings and banquetings and partings." And the Lord started to speak to me. It took me a while, and then I would no longer turn it on because I lived at home and I couldn't get rid of the TV. Then pretty soon we had a bar where we eat looking at it, and pretty soon I had to sit with it to my back and eat this way, trying to do everything in that teeny little home to not watch it. But I could still hear it. But thank the Lord, when I moved out of home, I said, "I'm not going to have a TV." And it wasn't the ministry that told me. It wasn't my parents that told me, because they were the ones that had the TV. They're the ones that threw the wild parties and the dances. I had found something better. My flesh still wanted it. I won't deny it. But I'm thankful that I found something better. That was age 17, 18. I'm 54 and I still don't have a television. And with the cell phone, I'm not live streaming movies. Even the regular movies, I tend to be careful about it. Because good movies can lead to opening the door to any kind of movie pretty soon. We need to be careful, saints. Amen? A day in the house of the Lord is better than 1,000 movies. Amen? It doesn't matter how much you try to PG-13 and whatever. Even PG-13 now is horrible. Parental guidance. curse words and nudity, and it's horrible. So don't PG-13 me and then say, oh, it's just PG-13. I know what PG-13 is. I don't even know if they use that grade anymore. You've got to do it for yourself. You've got to decide that you're not going to watch that anymore. You've got to decide that a day in the house of the Lord is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Amen? That goes for anything in this world. Amen? For a day in thy courts is better. Oh, it's better to get up in the morning instead of all with a headache and throwing up because you've been in a party the night before. It's better to wake up without a headache, without a stomach ache, without regurgitating in the bathroom. It's better. Amen? I don't hear too many amens. Amen? I say this because I've known that some of the young people here in the past, later on we find out that you were drinking. Why did they leave? Oh, because they did this and that, and or sniffing paint thinner, or smoking cigarettes, and then it goes on to marijuana, and then to harder drugs. Amen? I'm telling you that serving the Lord is better. And you've got to find it out for yourself. I can tell you, but if you don't kneel down and repent and ask the Lord to come into your life, you won't ever know that it's better. Amen? Oh, I want to tell you that it's better. It's better to serve the Lord. Amen. It's better to give your all to Him. Sometimes we as God's people can say, well, I'm saved and the meetings won't save me, so I can miss a few meetings. I never took that attitude in the church that I left. I might have missed maybe 3 meetings from age 14 when I started attending till the time that I left it in 2003. And in Ciudad Juarez, we've been preaching 13 years and we've not once missed the scheduled services that we have. Cars blowing up and radiators blowing up and transmissions dying out. We've gone there by taxi, by bus, one way or another, crossing a border into another country and not missed services yet. Yet the people that we preach to at times live a few blocks and they miss all kinds of services. How can that be? It depends on your priority. Do you really consider a day in thy courts better than 1,000 elsewhere? I hope you do. And if you don't, I'm going to tell you, you're going to get so far away that there's not going to be a way that you can get back anymore. The Holy Spirit will stop working with you if you go too far. But don't let the Holy Spirit tell you you've gone too far tonight, please. Because it doesn't matter how far you've gone, He can still reach you if you have a response to the working of the Holy Spirit in your heart tonight and say yes. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. Don't resist Him. Yield to Him tonight. Respond positively. Taste it and see. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen? Matthew 18, verse 8. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut it off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having 2 hands or 2 feet to be cast into everlasting fire. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with 1 eye, rather than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire. We don't see anybody here that's plucked out their eye or cut off their arm. We understand that it's not literal. But maybe in the past you were looking at something. You had your eye on something. You were doing something with your hands. You were going places with your feet. And we who are saints that have been serving the Lord for a while, we realize that if I don't pluck that thing out that I'm watching, that has my attention, if I don't pluck it out. Amen? Video games. When I was young, I had the privilege of, my first Christian was a 90-year-old black man that lived across the street from my house. I was an 11-year-old Hispanic that was stealing his grapes. It's a long story, but he's hired me to work for him. He would read the Bible. Finally, he gave me his old Bible, and I started reading it. Amen. And there were many things in my life that I realized were not right. And I started plucking them out, cutting them off. And the Lord has blessed my life for having done it. One of them was video games. At that time, video games, Pac-Man was coming out, something new. And they had these video arcades. And the 90-year-old black man told me, "Tony, I had a vision from the Lord, and he revealed to me that in the future, Satan was going to use the computer and video games to ruin marriages, ruin families, and to encage them." And I took him seriously. And he said, "It starts out by playing video games. You might laugh at that." Well, I took him seriously, and I didn't play video games, but one day I was with my friend, and he wanted to enter a video arcade, and I finally caved in, and I went in, and that's when I saw how they were like this in a dark room. Something had a hold of them. They weren't praising Jesus. They were like, and you'd say hello and they wouldn't answer. And I said, "I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like that all my life." And there's adults that are still like that. Slap the wife in the face. "Get out of the way. I'm playing this game." "Shh, be quiet, child." "Daddy, here's my home." "Shh, be quiet." When you get older and that child's gone, you're going to say, "I wish I had not spent so much time on these video games. My child is now an alcoholic, a prostitute, because I did not give him or her the attention. I was too busy playing video games." You know, most video games are vain. Most of them are violent. I once went into a computer place to have some stuff, some messages put on CD, preaching messages, and I had to be there in a while, and there were these big screens that young kids would rent, and they were playing video games. You know what they were doing? They were the person in there killing other people, shooting other people. The video games are teaching our children to be violent, to kill people, and to disrespect life, and that life has no value to it. That's what video games are teaching mostly today. It's mostly violence. May the Lord help us, saints. Pluck it out, cut it off before it's too late. Luke, there's something better. Forgot the part there. Amen. Praise the Lord. "It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye than having two to be cast into hellfire." It's better for us to cut off, pluck out that thing right now. Whatever it is that's hindering our relationship with the Lord right now. You know what it is. You know the plague of your heart. You know the weakness in your life. It's better to decide tonight that I'm going to cut it off than to die and find out that it took you so far away from the Lord and now it's too late. There's some people that are dying from Alzheimer's. Dementia. They don't know their own name or their husband or wife. Amen? Somebody once told a story about that, one of those happenings. I'll share it right now. The man got dementia and he didn't recognize his wife anymore. And they were telling him, "That's your wife." And he'd look and he said, "You've got to be kidding," the man said. "That's your wife." "You've got to be kidding." You know what? If we don't cut those things out now, we're going to be saying, "You've got to be kidding. I'm going to be cast. I've been in hell now, and now I'm going to be cast into the lake of fire. You've got to be kidding." Jesus, no, I'm not kidding. Ah! Splash. Amen? And it's not going to be like a sauna where you're nice and warm and getting out all those toxins getting out of your body. It's going to be forever, ever, and ever. There's gnashing of teeth. There's weeping. There's crying. Ah! Excuse me, I'm a little dramatic. I could have been an actor. But I'm thankful I didn't go that route. But saints, it's better to give it up now. It's better to miss something that you might have loved and cherished. It's better to be a little bit halt and maimed or to not see so good anymore. To not be able to look at that TV anymore because you chose to pluck it out. And you go to McDonald's and they have it everywhere. You have to be looking this way and that because you chose not to watch it anymore. It has to be that way. Watching a little bit leads to more and more. Amen? Let's go over to Luke 15. I love this story about the prodigal son. Who can tell me there's the word best that the father offered the son when he returned? What was it? The best what? The best robe. Amen? What did the best robe symbolize? What does it symbolize for us today, saints? The righteousness of Christ. We've heard already in these services that our own righteousness is as filthy rags. Our own good works will not get us into heaven. It's repenting and coming back to the Father, saying, Lord, I've sinned against you and against heaven. And we're so thankful that it doesn't matter how much we've sinned, how far we've gone, that we have a Father that is waiting. Is he coming back? Is he coming back? I felt in her heart that when they sung that song to her that something was drawn, she was drawn to it. Amen. He's waiting for you. Whether you're young or old, he's waiting for you. The Father's waiting with open arms. It says that he ran to him. He hugged his prodigal son that had said, Father, give me that goods. And he went far away and he spent it with riotous living. He spent his whole inheritance. He lost it all. There was a great famine and he got hungry. And he remembered, here I am trying to eat what the pigs are eating. And even the hired servants at home have plenty to eat. How foolish I was. I thought that it was just a bunch of rules and regulations. Thou shalt not and thou shalt. And I left. And now I wish that I had a thou shalt not and thou shalt. Amen? And he came back repenting, maybe all filthy and smelly. We have people in South Juarez that come to the services. We had services in a certain floor and we'd put the fans out and people off the street would get there and they'd stand there and the fans would be pointing and the odor would go, oh, they'll be cooling off and we'd be all dying because of the smell that was spreading everywhere. And I'm sure this son came back. He was feeding swine. The odor, the smell, but the father ran to him, embraced him and hugged him. You know, our sin is a foul order of the Father, but he's ready to wash you in the blood of Jesus and he's ready to take off those filthy garments of our self-righteousness, of our sin, of our rebellion, of our hardness of heart. And he wants to give us the best robe. He wants to kill the best fatted calf. Oh, the Lamb of God is succulent. The taste of roasted lamb. The Lamb of God. When we eat of him and drink of his flesh and drink of his blood, it's delicious. Jesus wants to give us the best robe. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 11, verse 17. Glory to God. Let's start with verse 13. Hebrews 11, 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly, where for God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city, a better country. My dad was born in Mexico, and his mother died when he was 5 years old, and they were very poor, and they sometimes ate callus weeds for meals. And he had a vision of crossing into the United States and having a career and raising a family and having a family where he could offer them something better than the poverty in Mexico. And I wouldn't advise this for anybody, and we teach the people in Mexico to not cross illegally, but my dad did cross illegally. I believe if the story is correct, one time he crossed three times and they threw him back each time until he married my mother, and then she legalized him. But I believe one of the times he crossed in a trunk with two expecting women. a trunk that was closed. They crossed the border. They didn't check the trunk, and he made it across illegally. And sure enough, my dad got to working, met my mother, and he had a better life. We read of in Cuba, in years past, we've read of people getting on rafts from the little island of Cuba, throwing themselves on rafts that they were tied together by twine and cords. And they, all the way from Cuba, they're hoping to make it to the tip of Florida and enter the United States illegally. And they'll endanger their lives and the lives of their wife and children because of the bondage that they were under with Castro and others, where they had no liberty. They were willing to put their lives in danger because they had no liberty. You know, today the world is in bondage. They're in poverty, spiritually speaking, and they're in bondage to someone worse than Castro. His name is Satan. That's why there's a poverty in the marriage, bad relationships, a poverty in relational skills, where you fight with everybody and get in a fight with everybody. You can't keep a job because you're poor. You're lacking something better. And Satan wants to set you free from that anger and the spirit of conflict that you may have. And he wants to give you something better. Are you willing to get on that raft with Christ and receive persecution, some sorrows, because you're leaving things behind that might be valuable to you right now? But you know what? I'm thankful that my dad did cross. I'm thankful that I was not born in Mexico. I love Mexico, but I love this land of liberty. We've gotten through a lot of strange things recently, but it's still better than other countries. I want to guarantee you that. The economy, even our economy, shot economy, is still better than many countries, brothers and sisters. Amen? We have something better, and God's children in the past, they saw heaven in the future, and they're willing to go through all kinds of trouble. And they had opportunity to have returned. We as saints can go back to the old life if we want. But we know better. We don't want the bondage that we had. We've got liberty. We've got rest. We've got peace. We have something better in Christ. Have you considered that something better? There's a better country. There's something better that can, instead of facing hell, you can have something better. Often we're taught to lay up for retirement. You better look beyond retirement to the retirement of your soul. You better start planning right now and laying up treasures in heaven, so when you reach the retirement of your soul and your body is retired in the grave, but your soul goes on to the second stage of hell, that I call it, called Hades, because you start your first level of hell here when you disobey, you take your own way, you start hell here on earth. You get tasting a little bit of hell right here. And then when you die, you go to Hades. Then after Hades, when Jesus comes back, we'll be cast. If we rebelled and taken our way, you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Hell and the false prophet and Satan. And everybody that worketh abomination, adultery, fornication, and witchcraft and lying will have their part in the lake of fire. There's something better than the lake of fire, my friend. Hell is real. Just as real as retirement is, hell is even more real than retirement. Retirement can creep up on us real fast. The day of judgment or the day of your death can creep on you faster than retirement. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to His blessed name. It says in Psalm 63, verse 3, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus I will bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. You know what? There's nothing more special. I think of the chicks cuddling underneath the hen. I've seen them, and sometimes they're covered up by the hen, and they stick their little pink, their little beak through, and you can see them so contented and happy. You can have that in Christ. I have it. Jesus said, oh, how often would I have gathered you underneath my wings, but you would not. He's loving, he's kind, and he's waiting for you to repent. But there's the other side of the coin. There's the wrath of God. On that day, many are going to be saying, hide us from the wrath of God. Amen? I don't want to experience the wrath of God. I'm so very thankful for what I have in Christ today. I'm so thankful that I have something better. There are better promises, better sacrifices. It's better to cut it off now. A day in the presence of the Lord. You know, I get up in the morning and I read the Bible. I pray. And I enjoy underlining and highlighting the Word of God and getting new lessons out of it. Your life can be better in Christ. There's something better. That day, that little boy, when he saw the real pony, it was nothing for him to throw that old stick away. What stick are we holding on to today? Once we see the beauty of Jesus, everything else will pale. And the Lord will help us to get rid of that old stick. He'll help us to reach for that something better, to spit out that razor, and to take the fruit of the Spirit that He's offering to us today.